Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Alabama legislature missed the mark regarding the IVF law. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, as you know, in the Alabama Supreme Court, the Supreme Court ruled 7-2 that an embryo is a person entitled to all the rights of any other person in a wrongful death lawsuit in which the embryos conceived through IVF were actually destroyed by a patient going back into the cryogenic freezer and dropping the frozen embryos on the floor. And parents brought the lawsuit for wrongful death. The case went up to the Alabama Supreme Court. The Alabama Supreme Court ruled that the parents of the embryos are entitled to bring the wrongful death lawsuit because these are persons, their children, protected under the law.
Well, and the court said not only a person, but it's a minor child, so it's entitled to the same legal protections as any other child, whether it's in the womb or outside the womb.
Absolutely. And so, you know, the Alabama legislature then, in a knee-jerk reaction with the Republican-led legislature there, unfortunately missed the mark. It's too bad that these legislators are moved more by political winds than in science and in the fundamental issues involving human life. But in fact, that's indeed what I believe clearly happened here. Now, I know the issue of in vitro fertilization can be very close to a lot of people because there's a lot of infertility issues. And you may have known people, or you do know people, or you may have been somebody who has engaged with IVF and perhaps even conceived a child, bore a child through IVF. But what we need to do is we need to balance what happened at the Alabama Supreme Court with what the Alabama legislature did. The Alabama legislature got it wrong. The Alabama Supreme Court got it right.
Mm-hmm.
We say, for example, that life begins at fertilization. And that's clear from the science. In fact, there's a 1975 journal or a book, a teaching book on embryology. It's called Langman's Medical Embryology, published in 1975. And it states, quote, "The development of a human being begins with fertilization," close quote. Now, this medical embryology textbook is in print today. It's like in the 15th to 17th or some other longer later edition, but it's been around for decades.
Yeah, but this truth never changes, though. A human being starts at fertilization.
Well, and the point is that science has long ago affirmed and continues to affirm that human life begins at fertilization. And that book goes back to 1975. So there's been no dispute in that. Maureen Condic, a PhD, wrote, quote, "The conclusion that human life begins at sperm-egg fusion is uncontested, objective, based on the universally accepted scientific method of distinguishing different cell types from each other and on ample scientific evidence. Moreover," she says, "it is entirely independent of any specific ethical, moral, political, or religious view of human life or of human embryos."
And, you know, that really throws the whole argument that the pro-abortionists have, saying, well, it's not really a child until so, you know, many weeks or until it's born. That just throws all of that argument out the window.
It does. And so when you think about this, ask yourself the question, begin with the fundamental question. When does human life begin? Now, people who are pro-life, as we are, we always have said that it begins at the moment of fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does it make a difference that fertilization is in the womb or outside of the womb? And if it makes a difference, then what scientifically, what morally, what biblically difference does it make? Because at that moment of fertilization, a unique, never before DNA sequence is created of a human being. And if it is implanted in a womb, that fertilized egg will grow to birth and become just like you and me. So there is no difference in terms of the location. And that's what the Alabama Supreme Court said. There's no difference in terms of when human life begins. It begins at fertilization. And the location of where that life begins doesn't matter. If it's in the womb, it's a human life. If it is conceived out of the womb by IVF, it's a human life. It doesn't Right. become a human life simply at the time or after it is implanted into the womb. That human life is uniquely created at that moment of fertilization. The location doesn't matter. So now, that being the proposition, and that's indisputed within the science, then what do we do with IVF? What do we do with IVF? How do you approach IVF? Should IVF be done? Or should it be done in a pro-life way?
Yeah, there's a lot of moral questions regarding that. And despite what a person believes, you still have to remember that embryo is clearly a child.
So an embryo conceived naturally or through in vitro fertilization, IVF, is a human being worthy of the right to life. What most people don't realize is that IVF in America is more destructive to preborn lives than abortion. When Roe v. Wade was overturned in June 2022, the U.S. fertility industry panicked because so many of the practices employed in IVF, in artificial fertilization, rely on the destruction of embryos. Roe v. Wade predated IVF, and its precedent helped pave the way for many of the practices the fertility industry employs when dealing with embryos today. It's estimated now that more than 1.5 million children are stored as frozen embryos nationwide, and countless embryos have been or are being destroyed during each cycle of IVF. In fact, the oldest person who was born from IVF was frozen, in fact, 31 years before birth.
Wow.
Carried by a mother who gave birth at 33 years. So the mother gave birth at age 33. She's only 3 years older than the moment of fertilization, of conception, of the twins that she gave birth to. She went to an IVF clinic. They had been frozen for 30, 31 years. She implanted them. She was told they might have some defect. She said, that doesn't matter. She implanted them. She got them implanted. Her and her husband went in, and they went through IVF.
Wow, and those were her eggs.
Those were not her eggs. Those were from someone else.
They donated.
The IVF clinic said there's a possibility that they could have Parkinson's in their DNA because their father actually had Parkinson's. Mm. And they said, it doesn't matter. We want them. 31, 30 years ago, they had been frozen. They had been frozen in a cryogenic freezer for 3 decades.
Wow.
Now they're implanted into this 30-something-year-old mother. She and her husband then agree, and she gives birth at age 33 to embryos that were fertilized 31 years before their birth. That's the longest one that we know of.
Wow.
And they were in a cryogenic freezer. So those are clearly human beings. So what do you do? Well, I have a friend, very strong pro-life, very strong ethical person, and she could not conceive naturally. She and her husband prayed about it. They ended up finding an IVF clinic. And what they did was they said to the IVF clinic that they wanted to do something different than what IVF does. Because IVF, they go by the numbers. Number one, they'll fertilize a bunch of eggs, and then they'll genetically select them. They'll select those that they think might be genetically defective, somebody that might have Down syndromes, race, gender. They genetically just toss them out. Or they'll freeze them if they don't use them. But they'll implant a number of eggs, knowing that some of those will die. So they have no respect for the sanctity of human life. They'll do it by the numbers. What she did was she said, I only want implanted one at a time. They said, well, it's going to be harder on you because you have to go through hormone treatment. She said, that's okay. So she went through that. She now has 4 children. She did have ultimately 4 or 5 miscarriages along the way, but they were all her eggs, and they were all one at a time. It was a harder process for her, But she did it because she did not want to have excess fertilized eggs that she would put in a cryogenic freezer.
And that was her husband's sperm as well.
Yes. Yeah, so that's she's an example of somebody who struggled with this, who looked at it from a pro-life standpoint and asked, how can I proceed this way, but be pro-life and respect the sanctity of human life? The Alabama legislature clearly got it wrong in its knee-jerk reaction. The Alabama Supreme Court clearly got it right. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/life.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.